Good morning. We're going to try to finish up John chapter 4. We'll be looking at the last part of it. If you'd turn there in your Bibles, John 4:43, and I'll read. Now, after 2 days, I think this is little sounds coming back on me. Yeah, thank you. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. And they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to preach it, to listen to it. We have the opportunity to learn from you, to talk to you, and you say you'll hear us. We give you thanks for what a great blessing we have. Give us freedom and ease. Give us a joy in learning and understanding the Word of God. Give me all the help that I need to bring the message clearly. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to John 4:43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. This is stated several times. Jesus states it several times in the Bible that people about coming around their own hometown, their home country, they don't think of him much as a prophet. They knew him as he was growing up and as he was a carpenter in the town and with his father and his mother and his brothers and sisters. And so they didn't think of him highly. But in Galilee, the Galileans had been at the feast in Jerusalem. They saw the miracles that Jesus did. Now, when John said he was going to give you some signs, he was talking about a miracle. He was talking about something that would prove to you that Jesus was more than just a man, more than just a prophet, that he was the Son of God, and that believing on him, you could get saved. That's a beautiful thing. Now, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem, in Acts 2:22, when Peter is preaching to the group after the resurrection of Christ, he said, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. That's Acts 2:22. And it's Peter preaching. And what's he saying? A man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs. There in the scripture, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign. As you're reading the Bible, and you notice at these different confrontations that Jesus had with the religious leaders of his day, they were all asking him for signs. And yet, every day of his life, every day of his ministry, what he's doing here is healing people, blessing people, explaining things, standing up for the truth. Wonderful doing, miracles were being done, and plenty of people saw them. They were just like politicians of our day. They weren't really interested in truth. They were just interested in trying to give the fellow a hard time. And that's what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Jews require a sign. That's true. They wanted a sign. And in Acts 2:22, where I read to you, Peter is standing up before these people after the resurrection of Christ and all the miracles. And he said he's approved of God by miracles, wonders, and signs. So John, when he wrote the book, said he was going to show us that Christ was the Son of God, that believing that, we would have life through his name. That was his interest. Now, Acts 4:10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. They were going into the temple. The disciples were going into the temple. And here's this beggar that had been sitting beside the temple for years and years and years. And as they go by, he asked them to give him something. And he said, such as I have. You know, he didn't have any money. Peter wasn't rich. He wasn't walking around with a pocket full of cash. He said, rise up and walk. And he jumped up and leaped and praised God, and the people knew him. This is a beggar they'd seen year after year, day after day, sitting at the temple begging. And so they had a lot of signs, miracles to prove it. Now, this nobleman, and being a nobleman, meant he was probably not a Roman. He was probably a relative of King Herod. But he's a high, rich man in high places. And when Jesus told him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, wasn't exactly with the situation of this fellow right here. And he lets him know in verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. He's serious. He's got a boy. You know what it is when your kids get sick? Now, people that don't have children wouldn't really understand that much, but a mother, a father.
Raise your microphone up as close as you can.
Think so?
Yeah, we got a problem on the online.
Okay. Sorry about a little adjustment there. Now that I'm blowing back at myself. Okay. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday about the seventh hour. Verse 53, so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now I want you to think about one of the really important things here. Not only to get one man saved, the man believed. He came to Jesus. He wanted a miracle. He wanted Jesus to come to Capernaum, 15, 20 miles away maybe, and go into his house, touch his boy, raise him up, help him out. He believed in the presence of Jesus Christ to be able to perform miracles. He did not necessarily believe that all he had to do was speak the word. But here's what happens. When he is healed, it's at the exact same time where Jesus told him, thy son liveth. What happened? Jesus didn't go, didn't lay a hand on him, didn't spit on his eyes, didn't pick him up, didn't give him a command. He just said right here, 25 miles away, thy son liveth. And the boy all of a sudden just got well. But notice something else in verse 53. And himself believed, and his whole house. Not only one man got saved, but his whole household got saved. Now that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful miracle. That ought to help you some. You got some doubts and fears and worries and whatever. Why don't you just trust what Jesus says? Just trust what Jesus says. His whole house believed. Praise God for his house believing. Now, that's a happy effect. Bringing a cure to the family brought salvation to the family. That's something pretty good. The nobleman himself believed, but he just believed. He didn't believe in necessarily the word of Christ. He believed in the presence of Christ. He believed, if you're here and touch my son, he'll live. Well, Jesus didn't have to go there because he said, He believed in Christ as the Messiah promised and became one of his disciples. Someone has said his word was as effective as his presence. Do you believe that? You ought to believe that. God's word is as effective as his presence. I got in my hands a Bible here. It's God's word. It is effective. You may not see a prophet. You may not see the Savior. You may not see God. You may not have a trance, as some of the people in the Bible have had, or a special dream or something like that. Do you have his word on anything? He says he'll answer prayer. You have his word? You believe him? Then you need to pray. He says if you'll call upon him, he'll forgive you and save your soul. Do you believe him? You don't have to have Jesus in his body right in front of you, touching you, saying you, or telling you that you're saved. No. His word is as good as being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of the most beautiful things you could have is the knowledge of this word. It'd do you some good. Now, I want you to look in Matthew 8:8. We've got another instance here about a centurion. Now, this man is a Roman. This man is a high soldier. Centurion probably was the leader of 100 men. And he answered and said to the Lord, I am not worthy that I shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He came to him because he had a servant that he loved. And Jesus is healing people all around. And he wants him to heal his servant. And he says, I'll come with you. And the centurion came back to him with this answer. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. How about that for humility? You might do better if you got a little more humble. Amen. You might do better if you thought about God as being high and mighty in you and being sorry and soiled. Amen. Here's a man. He's a Roman. And he's a soldier. But he believed in the Lord. And he also said, speak the word only. How valuable is the word of God? It'll change lives. I know people that have picked up a gospel tract across a field, read it, went out and talked to somebody and got saved. It happens. It happens. That's the reason why you ought to pass out tracts. And in fact, we ought to preach in the open out here as often as we can. That the people going by, we've had several, maybe some of you here today, we've had several that have come in and joined with us in the meeting just passing by. Wonderful thing. They don't know what's going on inside that church right there. But what we've got is the Word of God. And His Word is effective. And so this centurion, he had that much faith. He says, speak the Word only and my servant shall be healed. Now what you thinking, centurion? He said, I'm a man under authority, the next verse, verse 9, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and he goeth. To another, come and he cometh. And to my servant, do this and he doeth it. I tell you what, he knew about orders and discipline. All of you guys that have been in the service, you understand about some things like that too. They might not have got you obedient in high school, but I guarantee you they got you obedient in the service or else they kicked you out. Then you learn to obey commands and orders. Well, that's what this centurion was. He's used to commanding. And so he sees Jesus as God, as Savior, as all-powerful, and that if he speaks the word will go and do what he says for it to do. Now, that's great faith. And Jesus said it was great faith. And he said to him, go. And to another, come, he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way. As thou hast believed, so be it, do miracles, 7 or 8 in his gospel, that he's given to prove that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. These are out of Matthew 8. And then we look at the first sign. It says in verse 54, this again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, what was the first sign? Well, it's back in John chapter 2, verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, they were at a wedding. And they came, Jesus' mother came to him and said, "We've run out of wine." And of course, evidently, they had a good crowd and probably a big family, may have been part of Jesus' extended family, reason why they were there, or his mother was taking over or whatever. And he told her to go, the time hadn't come. But then he told these servants to take these great big jugs that they kept their water in and go fill them up. And the servants went over and picked up the jugs, hauled them out, filled them up with water, carried them back. So they knew where what this came from. Now, wine doesn't happen in a day. You don't get wine in an hour or two. It has to ferment and be strong and pull against the skins of the animals that they would put it in as their bottles. They took it to the governor of the feast. They'd run out of wine. Okay, we've got wine. So they took it to him. And then the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Look at verse 10. Said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when many have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." The water they put in there was made wine by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his first miracle. And so this healing of the nobleman's son is his second miracle. And what's he doing? He said, "Thou hast kept the good wine until now." Now, this beginning of miracles to Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Wonderful, wonderful thought. You know, maybe the guy that was running the wedding didn't know where the wine came from, but the servants did. And the servants heard what he said. "You kept the best wine until now." Now, thinking about the same thing, meeting God, and that's one of the real purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we see God as he is. We meet him in his word. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Here's another centurion. This one is an Italian. He's a devout man. Now, this verse 2 is an amazing thing. He's a Roman soldier. He's a strong officer. And he's an Italian. But he said he was a devout man. Said he feared God with all his house. Gave much alms to the people. And prayed to God always. You'd like to have him in your church, wouldn't you? You'd like to have him for a neighbor, wouldn't you? I'd like to have somebody like that. That'd be good news. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." You sometimes think your prayers don't get out of the bedroom ceiling. But look what this man said. Your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. God is here because you've been praying to God, and so he sent me to come to you. He tells him, "Send men to Joppa. Call for one Simon whose surname is Peter." Simon Peter. Now, he's supposed to send some men. He's a soldier. He's got plenty of men he can command. Send them to Joppa and get Simon Peter. Now, look down at verse 11. "And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, and as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.'" Uh-oh. Peter's a Jew. He's a practicing Jew. He doesn't eat things like this. There's just a lot of things he doesn't eat. Now, I know some of you will eat almost anything. I've seen people eat grasshoppers and scorpions and snakes and all sorts of things. But these Jews didn't do that. Now, he says, "Go call for Simon Peter." Now, look at verse 6. This is Acts 10:6. "He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Now, he has an angel in his living room. He's got a messenger from God in his living room. Now, what does that messenger tell him? He doesn't say, "Listen to me." He said, you need to call Simon Peter in another town down there. I'll tell you where to get him. He will give you words. He'll tell you what you ought to do. Now, if you look down at the same in Acts chapter 10, verse 11, and Saul, this is Peter, saw heaven open, certain vessel descending unto him as had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down at the earth, all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. And in verse 13, there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's verse 34. That's an amazing truth. Especially for a righteous, law-following Jew. To come to the place that he could say that this Gentile can be blessed by God. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, that ought to give you some hope. God is no respecter of persons. Well, who will he listen to? He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Verse 35. You're no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what color you are. You can be brown. It's men that make a difference on your color or your family or your nation or your religion. And it's us, and it's the prejudices we have in our own hearts. But he says, but in every nation, verse 35, he that feareth him, work of righteousness, is accepted with him. Wonderful. What a tremendous promise. What an opportunity for the gospel to go over the whole world into any country in the world. There are revivals going about in the world today. Some places are being preached to. And they're hearing the gospel and they're getting saved and they're not Americans living in this society such as we have. They're people of a different religion, a different language, a different culture, different skin, different hair. I perceive God is no respecter of persons. That's a tremendous statement. Well, you ought to be like God. You shouldn't be a respecter of persons. You ought to witness to everybody you possibly can. You ought to invite the people to the house of God where they can hear the word of God. That's what you ought to do. In every nation, he that feareth him. Do you fear him? I do. I'm afraid of what God can do. I know that my hand and my life, my mind and my heart, my future is all in the hands of God. And I also know that there's a law down here that God has put out and keeps proving it over and over again to me. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, you ought to listen to some of these things because his word is powerful. And if you have his word on it, it's the same as having his presence on it. And what a beautiful thing that is. Now look at verse 38. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed them openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. That's the living and the dead. You're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. Jesus fulfills every prophecy for the Messiah in the Old Testament. Wonderful thing. Amazing thing. And you can read in the Psalms and in Isaiah and some of these other prophets. He fulfills it. Now to him give all the prophets witness through his name. What are they witnessing? Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That is a great big blessing, people. Remission of sins? Your sins can be paid for. They can be wiped out. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the righteousness of Christ. Praise God. In verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. This is Peter. And what's he doing? He's telling him words in this house whereby they must be saved. God had an angel sitting in the living room. Wasn't the angel's job. Do you know what? It's your job. People need to hear. You need to tell them. It's people's job. It's our job. Preach the gospel. Tell them how to be saved. Tell them how to get their sins forgiven. He'll tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house may be saved. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to know this is not a new thing. This calling upon the Lord and getting saved, calling on the Lord and getting forgiven, it's not a new thing. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Thank you, Lord.
What did he say? Seek the Lord. He didn't say run from the Lord. It's what most of us do. You ran a whole lot of your life. Even those of you that are faithful right now, you can go back in your life and tell us about what you did and how you lived and whatever. You were running from God. Most of you weren't seeking God. He tells you to seek him. Seek him while he may be found. Well, that's today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where God can be found. Isn't that wonderful? He can hear you. You can pray to him. You can seek him. Say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, help me. Call you upon him while he's near. The Bible lets us know very clearly right now he's near. God is looking for lost sheep. God is looking for sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. If he would have, he wouldn't have got many. But you know what he did? He came to call sinners. And no matter how righteous you may think you may be, you're still a sinner.
Amen.
You need a Savior. And you need that story told to you. It needs to be told by human voices. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just the disciples. That's not just the preachers, missionaries. That's everybody that's got the message in their heart. That's everybody that's been forgiven. That's everybody that's fallen on their face and God's changed their life. You got people around you. They need a message. They need to hear what God can do for them. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. And what a man sows, that's what he reaps. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. Do you remember the reason for the miracle? Was to show you Jesus didn't have to be there. All he had to do was give his word. Well, I'm giving you his word. His word is right here in a Bible in my hands. And you know what? God lives by that word. God swore by himself because he could swear by nobody greater. And you know what? When you call upon God, he'll hear you. You may not think you're praying a very wonderful prayer. And you may not be. But let me tell you what. God hears sincere prayers. Sometimes it cannot be uttered with words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he's near. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's a message of what the character of God is like. Call upon him while he's near. Ask him for forgiveness of sin. Believe that he is God in the flesh, that he died in your place, that he paid your debt. Accept the gift of God. Nobody's going to brag in heaven but on Jesus. He's the only one worthy. You need his righteousness, and you need your sins forgiven. Why don't you take the message right here that Jesus' word is as good as his presence. And trust that word and call upon God and be saved. God bless you. Had a good time.